This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. And certainly, Bob, today all the talk, man, text messages, people sending stuff, is all about LSU today and the disappointment of last night. And, man, you saw their inability to run the football. That, to me, really stood out in this game. They could not run the football. Here you have two guys that would be first-round picks.
And, Mike, we've been stroking the offensive line. If we not the best offensive line in college in the conversation.
And USC finished, what, 115th last year against the run?
Mike, when I looked at that, okay, you might say, well, they got a new defensive coordinator and all that, but how they change. If you look at it overall, that USC defense, and you look at, it's a different season, but if you look at yards they gave up per game, you look at their rushing defense, and their total defense, they were 116th. 116th. So, Mike, if you'd have told me we were only going to give up, I don't know, 20, 27 points, and I said, oh, I'll take that right now. I thought it'd be a 30-something, but you got to give
Give D'Anton Lynn a lot of credit for what he did with the defense.
Coming over from UCLA. And
Lincoln Riley, you know, we've talked about it before. His team was always going to score points. I'd be shocked if you'd have told me Friday that, hey, USC will score 27 points, I'd have said that's a W for LSU.
Yeah, Mike, and Lincoln Riley, I think this is his best coaching job, you look overall, to kick off a season since he's been at USC. Because they've always scored points, like you said. But, no, defensively, whether at Oklahoma or at USC, it was all about their
good
defense. Yeah. So you look at, I think, LSU's defense, I think, heading in the right direction. Now, not necessarily what you want it to be, a shutdown defense. But it might be baby steps. But if you look at it, Mike, now dropping five straight season openers. It was just for the first time since 1991 to 95. What was that, Curly Holman? Curly Holman. Come on, think about it. Now, that's what fans think about. For us to lose five straight season openers the first time since 91 to 95, no, that's very discouraging. And when I look at it, Well, Bobby, we ran the ball. We had 117 yards on 26 carries. But, no, you have to look at it. You take – now,
you can't – they all count.
They all count.
Because Emory's two big runs.
Yeah, and the 39-yard run by – Emory, just take, you take that one out. 39-yard run by Emory. We should have had a handful of them instead of that one big. But if you take that out, Mike, LSU averaged 3.1 yards per carry. Now, not 4.5, 5 yards, something like that. 3.1 yards. What, is that the Saints rushing attack or something? You know what I'm thinking about, 3.1 yards? No, that was, to me, that's where LSU lost the game.
Was also, that, too, with penalties. Bob, you always stress this, 10 penalties, if it's near 100 yards or 100
yards. It's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown difference.
And that's where we had, I was like saying, and it's some stupid penalties, like, you look pre-snap penalties, and then you look personal fouls.
And you can't have that from the older players on the team.
Yeah, who's
from
seasoned.
A Kyron Lacy or a Major Burns.
You
can't have that.
Come on,
those
that's guys you're counting on. You got to think. Come on, think. You cannot afford to have those.
Can't lose your poise
yes.
in that spot.
I mean, and you look at that, Mike, when all said and done, 10 penalties, 99 yards. So that's 10 penalties, 100 yards. So that's a touchdown plus when you think about it. Because you can have at nine, I'm telling you, if you do research, 9 penalties like giving up a touchdown are 100 yards in penalties. Well, we lost by a touchdown. I mean, it was very I don't know. The Florida State game, I was way more discouraged. Coach Kelly's been here now, lost three season openers.
This is the most frustrating.
Oh, without a doubt.
As far as I'm concerned. The most frustrating.
Now, I'm glad they got 12 teams that can go to the playoffs. You know, because if you would be, think about right now if it was old school where you had only four teams in the playoffs. We'd really be behind the eight ball. But, you know, right now we only can afford to have one more loss. You know, they think I have to
be. You got a little wiggle room.
Yeah, little. I mean, because I think you could still, because of the strength of the SEC, have 10 wins and still go be at the bottom of the playoffs. But, I mean, come on. You're going to have to beat Ole Miss at Alabama and Tiger Stadium. Now, you know who else has to be disappointed? How about the Aggies? A&M, Notre Dame came to College Station. Mike, the A&M quarterback was Pooty. I mean,
Connor Wegman really struggled.
He struggled.
And you know what was a big part of it? They lost their starting center, and he's out for the year.
Did he blow out his knee or something?
Yes. Bill, you saw, man, as soon as he went down, man, Notre Dame was what? Man, listen, I always talk about that. You lose a center, it ain't no next man up stuff. No, that guy, he controls everything up front. And when he went down, Notre Dame attacked the middle. They had a guy in his face every time he threw the football. And rushing attack for Texas A&M, that wasn't there.
And Mike, going back to LSU, you know where we're at right now? And we're in the 21st century. You look Coach Saban and then Les Miles and with Coach O as far as, come on, we were always talking about, oh, when LSU won the national championship, with Paul Dietzel and all that. Then all of a sudden, well, when you start winning and winning championships, and, you know, you could keep it fair and say, well, we got to be in the SEC championship game when you look at Coach Kelly. But right now, Mike, I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. They're paying him too much money. They want him to have success. I don't know. Jimbo Fisher gets paid a lot of money. They ran him out of town.
Yeah, but A&M got
a lot more
money than LSU.
No, and plus A&M was A&M wasn't even contending.
Yeah, correct.
But you look at LSU's I mean, they figured out so far under Coach Kelly the past two seasons to reach the SEC championship game in 2022, and then they had a pair of 10-win seasons. Well, Mike, you went under 10 wins, or if you have an 8-win, 9-win season, the natives are restless.
You know what I mean? They?
The Tiger Nation, they're like, we got to be more relevant than that, and especially with a 12, in the strength of the SEC, the 12-team playoff. You know, LSU fans expecting them to be in that number. And they could still be in that number. Boy, but 1-0 would have been a whole lot better than 0-1.
And then people say, well, when the schedule's going to lighten up? Next year, they start the season with Clemson.
Yeah, and then who knows what's going to happen with Clemson. But it's still the mystique of Clemson, the name now. The Georgia crushed them. I mean, they name, image, and likeness, the Dabo Mike.
He has not embraced that at all and will not. Says he will not.
Well, then he won't have a job. I mean, he'll earn his salary. If you look in the future, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, if you don't embrace the image and likeness, you got to keep up with the Joneses. You know how you look at your neighbors, all of a sudden they planted a few plants in the spring and they're getting their yard looking good, and then you feel pressure. You have to make your yard look good, too, because you don't want to be like, you know, in French, you say dépouille. You don't want to be the neighbor that doesn't take care of his yard or take pride in that.
Correct.
Well, I mean, I think that's where, we're at right now. You got to keep up with the Joneses. That's why you might not like Lane Kiffin, or you might love him. You know, it's kind of love-hate. But Ole Miss is keeping up with the Joneses. Look at the expectations where Ole Miss is at right now, Mike. I'm not saying they're the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm not saying that. But you look at Ole Miss, look at Ohio State. I think Ohio State, what name, image, and likeness, like they have they paid $20 million. Now, if I'm an Ohio State fan, or I'm donating that kind of money.
You better win.
Yeah, they don't live up to expectations. Say, well, I'm not giving you no money the next
year. Ryan Day might not survive.
Right.
Because for them, man, one, you better beat Michigan, which you have not been able to do.
Yes. If you're not winning a national championship, you better beat Michigan.
And you better be in that top 12.
Now, what's the big game? Michigan and Texas, Mike, coming up? I think is that game's at Michigan. But you know why people are on that Texas bandwagon right now? You remember last year they went to Alabama and won that game. So they can go to the big house. They can go to Ann Arbor. They can take care of business. Yeah. You know, it all fluctuates. Who's on the bandwagon? Who you all excited about?
And I know one thing. Texas is a lot better off at quarterback with Ewers and Arch than what Michigan is right now.
The best in the nation. If you look at the 1-2 punch at quarterback, it doesn't get any better than what Texas has right now.
Man, they can
bring Ewers in that Arch. Yeah.
They can bring them out. But going back to, man, I was really surprised. And we did this show yesterday on our Tiger tailgating show. And so Jeff Palermo brings up the fact about John Emery. And he was like, were you surprised? Because John told me twice in the summer, I'm going to be ready for game one. And he said, I'm going to have an impact. And, you know, he was very confident. And I kind of know what John's been through. He had great issues. He had injury issues, a situation with COVID with him and family members and stuff to that extent. He put the ball on the ground every once in a while. So I told him, I said, listen, John, man, I hope you can come back for game one. He said, I guarantee you I'll be back for game one. I'm going to have an impact. I said, man, look, I'm pulling for you. But I got one bit of advice for you, John. Do not put the ball on the ground or you're going to be watching and you ain't going to be playing.
Yeah,
and he sort of glanced at me and said, come on, why are you always? I said, no, I know how Brian Kelly thinks. And if you put the ball on the ground, you're not going to be playing.
You got to go back the line.
And so he started to laugh.
That football got to be like gold. You cannot lay it down. You almost have to be an unbelievable running back that they let you fumble now and then because you have explosive plays. But when you look at
but John came to play last night, and he played big.
But when you're talking about, like, man, did the ball not really bounce for LSU? And you look at turnovers are not an issue. We were so close but so far.
Interception and a fumble.
It was like a two or three of them. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, you're excited. We made a play. But, man, we should have had a damn takeaway there. It just I was like, man, this game is too close for comfort. I'm telling you, when you're winning the game, can you turn that lead? You know, let's say you're up by like a field goal or 4 points. Can you all of a sudden turn that into double digits? And we're never able to do that. That's why we're all sweating and you can't even really sit in the chair. You're just squirming and you're all high anxiety. That was a high anxiety game yesterday. I go, you got to be kidding me. I was like, no, because it's too close for comfort. Especially when you have a chance, when you have the momentum, you got to continue that momentum. You can't be, oh, we got this game. And then what ends up happening, no, the momentum can shift like the snap of your fingers. And that's what occurred.
You and I were talking about this off the air. Early in a game, when you have opportunity to score points, I'd have kicked that field goal.
Well, but Mike, okay, you got to be fair. You got to be fair. Okay, listen, all LSU fans, okay, you got to be fair because it's hindsight. Okay, the 3 points, yes, look at the big difference that would have made. But I think Coach Kelly's thinking that, man, we might be in a shootout. We can't set up with no damn field goals. We got to get a touchdown. We got to go for it. Now,
but the field goal might have made a difference.
Yes, yes. When you look at the end of the game, you say, damn, in hindsight, we should have kicked that damn
but
field goal.
I'm always a big believer in early in a game, unless you're having a lot of success running the ball, you got to take the points when you get an opportunity to.
And the quarterback. We ain't got to worry about the damn quarterback because quarterback
Garrett played well.
The quarterback always gets the glory or they get the blame. And Nussmeier is fine. I'm not saying he's Jane Daniels. He's not going to ad lib when the guy's coming through in the A gap and the blitz going to make him miss and then have a big play. No, that's why you have to have the protection that sound. I said when USC, you got to give them credit. We got out coached. When they come in free in the A-gap, that should never happen. Never. If they bring in too many, you can block. The outside guy has to be free. You got to block inside out. So I don't blame Nussmeier on that. And when I looked at the replay, the running back screwed up. You got to that's why people don't realize, if the quarterback gets sacked and he blitz, the offensive line sucks. No. It might be the damn tight end.
It might be the back.
Or the running back. That you got to be like a lineman. If you're not out in the route, you got to know your assignment, and then you got to be able to execute that assignment. So when he's coming free and nobody's touching him, I look back, man, that should never happen. And then I look, I'm running back. So they're running, so you're in the running back meeting room. It's like, hey, you want to play? And I'm great. I'm glad you can run the ball, but you got to know what you're doing on every play. You're not a pass protect. That's not because LSU and major college football is like the NFL. You have to realize what they're asking these players to do is the same level as the NFL. You can't be, the bottom line is you could be dumb and be a defensive player if you could rush the passer. Because you got to know a handful of things. But if you're an offensive player, no, you got to know what the hell what you're doing. There's always a dumb football player. It doesn't happen on offense or you don't play. You don't play or they'll piecemeal how they're going to get you the ball in your hands. But if you want to play every down, you got to know your plays and you have to know your assignments.
Yeah, and again, I think the biggest disappointment, other than the penalties for me, was that you could not run the ball when you needed to and had to.
I mean, so what? It's 31. They know you're going to run. Hell yeah, you're going against USC, the 116 run defense. They didn't get that much better. No, you should fall forward. We should be able to do 31 a damn quarterback sneak and get the first down. Just blow off the line. Not like, 31, we ran a running play and we lost yardage. What? Come on. Come on. I'm going to tell you that's where... Who's again, the offensive line. Now, I'd make them go live, and they might quit and want to transfer.
I think you're going to see a little bit more physicality
in practice. I want them going live and like, okay, we're going to run the ball. I'm going to see you come off the ball and do your assignment. Running the ball. That'll make even Nussmeier better. Now, when you look at what Nussmeier did, if you'd have told me he did this before the game, the interception at the end, that doesn't even count. The game was over. So I don't even count that. But he was 29 of 38 for 304 yards. If you'd have told me that before the game, that we're going to win. Because he looked overwhelmed. Then he looked poised. Nussmeier looked poised to me.
I thought both the quarterbacks.
Both quarterbacks
were unbelievable. For lack of experience as a starter. Man, and the kid under pressure for USC the last two drives.
I can tell you right now, you know, I always say this. That's why I respect both those individuals. The USC quarterback, Moss and Nussmeier, you never want to be the man to replace the man.
Look at them two.
They weren't overwhelmed. The game wasn't too big for them. They did their jobs. And so that's why I'm not, again, LSU fans, I'm not worried about the quarterback. And the defense, I think Coach Baker, I like the aggressive spirit. I'm telling you, we were supposed to kick ass on the offensive line, and we did not. As simple as that, because we followed the ball. You might say, well, why did we – we were burning them with the pass. Why are we starting to run the ball? Well, hell yeah, we should be able to run our pass. We should be able to do anything against USC.
The one thing Lynn did in the second half, he sort of bracketed Kyren.
Yes.
His deal was okay. No. I saw what he did in the first half. He ain't beating us in the second half.
He basically had 100 yards catching the ball in the first half. And then he don't get no opportunities. I think Nussmeier, because I've been there. Because you read the defense. Okay, if you're trying to take out one weapon and they're playing him over the top, short and long, or in and out, they're doubling him. Well, you got enough good other receivers, and you just attack them with the single coverage. So that's why people realize, why we didn't throw in the ball the second half. I can understand in that perspective. Still, sometimes you got to force them the ball and give an opportunity, Lacy, to make a play. But that was unbelievable how in the first half he basically had 100 yards receiving, and the second half had zero. No, I'm telling you, don't give Coach Kelly a pass. And if it was Coach Hall, I wouldn't give him a pass. I'm telling you right now, Mike, you know I would be objective about that.
Coach Hebert.
He get mad sometimes because I would challenge him, and he'd call me, okay, Coach Hebert and stuff. But I'm just telling you that, listen, think about this. What coaches are getting paid, Dabo Sweeney, Coach Kelly, when you're getting paid $10, $11 million, man, we better not get out, Coach. Or you better be amongst the best, and we had the right plan and everything was executed. Or there's nothing wrong with holding their feet to the fire. They men. They old school big boys. You know, when you're getting that kind of money, you got to be much as given, much as required. Hello?
And that's why you got to say, last night, Lincoln Riley and his staff outcoached LSU's staff.
Hey, Lincoln Riley.
Bottom line.
Lincoln Riley looked like the $10, $11 million coach versus
Well, he's
coach
close
Kellen.
To that now.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That he looked more. No, and it might change. I'm telling you, USC, they're going to be.
It's fickle there in L.A.
They're going to be in a rude awakening. They're going to the Big Ten. You might say, Bobby, USC might be better than you think. Watch, USC will lose to some team. You're like, what, they lost to them? It's going to come up wise during the season.
We'll be back with more second guests. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. It's our second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're here until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. This very frustrating Labor Day. You know, guys, I know Bobby's speaking for a lot of LSU fans when he said what he said earlier. And, I, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, Brian Kelly, from top to bottom, the LSU Tigers spit the bit last night in Las Vegas. And, you know, Coach Kelly comes into LSU, he wants to run the football program like a business. But, you know, I don't see the business attitude right now, Coach. You know, if you're unable to get plays in the huddle right after a timeout, or defensive breakdowns in the secondary when you're coming off the worst defensive season ever, and basically forgetting that Kyron Lacy was carrying the team in the first half because John Emery had a couple of big runs in the second half, is not what I'm calling good business. And stupid penalties, like taking off your helmet after a massive fourth down stop, dancing in the end zone like a bunch of damn fools after a touchdown, it allowed USC to get a big kickoff return, and an absolutely devastating targeting call that set up the final USC touchdown to win the game does not speak to any of us in the LSU fan nation as a business attitude. And, you know, and that was especially more important because it seemed like the officials in the game yesterday made a point to swallow their whistles whenever USC committed a penalty at certain points. And, you know, Brian Kelly can go and spout out and pound the table at the press conferences about being angry with the team and
fake to
and
me,
having
I
to
don't
do
know.
Better.
But that looked like fake. You're just trying to say, oh, look, he really cares. Look, he's pounding the table. I don't know. That looked fake to me, Big John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not about performative outrage, okay? And, you know, look, 3 years in a row now, and Coach Kelly is now 0-3 in season openers. I will say this. We weren't playing like Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Ole Miss, you know, winning by 60 points over some cupcake for the first game. We've been playing, you know, major interconference games. But, you know, every one of those players that cost us stupid penalties should be running gassers. But, you know, that's fixing the barn door after the horse got out. I mean, some of these players look very much like individuals on the field rather than team players. And that's something for which Brian Kelly, the so-called no-nonsense coach, is responsible. Now, you know, I know I should not sugarcoat it too much, but I was pretty pissed off yesterday.
No, and you know what?
It's frustrating, Big John. No, I'll be honest. I agree with you.
And, Big John, I thought the difference, you know, when you got him down, you got to keep him down. You can't go back and forth, because you lose those type of games. I thought what was significant in the game and the outcome, LSU, to me, had a chance to take control early in the fourth quarter, if you look at it. USC went for it on 4th and 9. I go, what? That's pretty aggressive. They went for it on 4th and 9 from LSU's 37-yard line. And Savion Jones, who had an outstanding game, he deflected the pass to force a turnover and downs. But, okay, we should put the pedal to the metal offensively, but on the ensuing possession, LSU went 3 and out for the second time in the game. I mean, Mike, when that happens,
you can't expose your defense, which you know has deficiencies, back on the field. This is where your offense has to sort of take control. And I thought believed they could run the ball and take control, and that didn't happen.
And it didn't happen. No, when you're 31 and you lose yardage or you can't get a first down. I mean, come on. No, LSU got humbled in the trenches. Mike, the offensive line coach, I wish I'd be in that damn meeting with the offensive line. And then, okay, everybody's feeling good about themselves. You got a lot of experience. I'm an NFL player and all that. But, okay, what are you doing now? Well, not what you're going to do against Nicholls State. And then with South Carolina. Okay, let's say LSU goes on a roll against Nicholls State and South Carolina. South Carolina barely beat Old Dominion. What was that? About 5 points? 20-some to 18, 23-18? It was something like that. So I'm just telling you, that's why you got to be a pro, and you have to understand the task at hand. You know, don't believe your press clippings. You have to almost be like you're pissed off against the world. And just go take that approach and go.
You know, the crazy part about it is, and Charlie and I did a show, Will Campbell, I'd never heard him talk in that tone before about this is a business trip for us and we're going to punch him in the mouth. We didn't see. Well,
ain't no damn punch
there
in
was
the
no
mouth,
punch
the,
in the mouth.
Run game. Now, because you're speaking for the whole offensive line, they got to work in continuity. I mean, all together as far as. Listen, if you're a kick-ass offensive line, to me, if at times you're outnumbered, okay, and then that could be a problem. But if it's man-to-man and you look at scheme and everything, Mike.
They didn't get no push.
No, you should get a push and fall forward for 3 or 4 yards. And then you're not going backwards or no yards. That's why I'm telling you I was disappointed when all happened with that. But I look at – that's when I was a little worried, Mike, when I said that, Big John, that sequence, when all of a sudden they going forward on 4th and 9, I'm saying, screw USC. You're going to be that bravado and all that. We're going to go forward. We're gonna stop, and then you're going to go 3 and out. Come on.
Bob, I was a lot more – I was nervous long before that series, I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched him not being able to take over up front physically where you thought that's where you – that was your strength of your football team, that's where you'd be able to get after a team that had struggled mightily stopping the run.
Okay, then you always talk about, and Big John and Mike and Tiger Nation, you always talk about, okay, halftime adjustments and where you at. In the second half, LSU went 2 of 6 on third down, and they gained 184 yards compared to 240 for USC.
Mm.
I mean, did we have any kind of momentum to finish the game? No, it was on the other side. Right.
And I don't want to take anything away for how those final two drives, how poised, how, man, he looked like he had been in this spot before.
And he looks like
he looks like a little kid.
He looks like he's in seventh grade. I said, maybe I'm getting old and I got white hair and all now, and I'm talking with my wife. And I'm looking at Moss, and you know, we had the Cajun Cannon Rusher, and we all had a group of friends, and we were watching the game. And I go, man, I guess I'm getting old. That guy looks like he's in junior high. I mean, he was poised, kicking our ass.
And listen, he got beat up quite a bit in that game. He got knocked around.
Well, he was 27 of 36 for 378 yards. And I think LSU's defense played good. He almost threw for 400 yards. Yeah, one touch, Mike. And I thought, oh. Did you see like two or three catches? And now listen, if you just like football, and if
you didn't have a dog in the hunt,
and I don't care if you're LSU, you can be an LSU fan, and you see, I said, man, that was pretty good coverage. How in the hell he caught that ball? There was two or three USC catches. I was like, I don't know how they caught it, Mike. It was like unbelievable. So you got to give them the props. So that I respect when I see that howling and folding.
Okay, we had one of the USC insiders. He said, as much as I want to talk about Zachariah, I think he's the third best wide receiver on this team.
I think so, Mike.
And at first I was like, whoa. Then I got to see him, and he may be absolutely right. Big John.
Big John and Mike, you talk about Zachariah. Didn't y'all think like, oh.
Don't kick him the ball.
He was running back that kickoff all the way. I mean,
and the kicker makes the
kick. Yes, I'm like.
Oh, he's going to catch hell for that.
Yeah.
Because I know that dude can flat out fly. Big John, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Eric in Mississippi. Eric, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike. How y'all doing today?
All right, Eric.
Hey, one thing I see about Brian Kelly, I watched him at Notre Dame, and he was like a man on fire on the sideline. I mean, up and down, changing plays, making calls. It seemed like he's old Ed Orgeron, a clone of him, just sitting on the sideline, stone-faced it. But one thing I noticed the last couple of years is that the transfer portal has taken place for all his five-star recruits. They're on the bench, Shelton Sampson. You got Javion Toriano on the bench. He lost Quincy Wiggins, a five-star defensive lineman who should be in there right now. He's at Colorado. And I see Texas, Alabama, Auburn, all these teams are playing their five-star freshmen from the back. They're getting in there. They get work in for the long haul. And you got to get Howard Perkins back on the end. This is criminal what they're doing to him. But first of all, and I'm going to say this last thing, why he's holding back all these five-star recruits that are sitting on the bench. When Kyron, when Hilton went out and Parker, Shelton Sampson should have been the next man up. He's been there for 2 years. Why he's still on the bench?
That's well, the, yeah. The whole thing about how many stars you got, five-star, four-star. Mike, who's the individual, the cornerback? Now, he got called for interference, but I think he made some plays.
The rookie from Mississippi, P.J. Woodland.
P.J. Woodland. Okay, what was he, a two- or three-star?
He's a three-star guy.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he leaves school, and then he's
at the starting.
Yes, I mean, so that's why I'm not calling.
Okay, what star were you when you came out?
No stars. I mean, come on! I didn't even play quarterback. I was like a free safety that they just put me at quarterback because Andy Martin was just gonna sprint out and run, even though the receiver was open. Said we could throw a little bit, we might have a chance. So no, that's why how you develop and where you go year after year.
No, if LSU gives you a scholarship, you're a damn good player.
Hey, the bottom line is this: is that when you have an opportunity. I don't care how many stars you have. When you have an opportunity, this could be in the NFL. If you're a free agent, you look at Marcus Colston where he was drafted. You look at anybody. When you have an opportunity, what do you do with that opportunity? Because if you don't take advantage, they'll sweep you under the rug and they'll move on. So it's up to you. So that's why when I was like, oh, I saw him play in junior high and little league and high school, and he was unbelievable. I don't know. He might have been shaving in ninth grade. And he never going to get bigger or whatever. I didn't have a hair on my body when I was almost 16 years old. So, I mean, it's like when you look at how you develop and players, when you have an opportunity to put you in there, what are you going to do with that opportunity?
Like John, and I thought he played well yesterday, John Emery. He was a five-star recruit coming out of Destrehan.
What, does that mean he's going to play in the NFL? I don't know. You're going to have bad luck with injuries and all that. He looks like he's running hard and all that. Man, they don't give a what you did in high school. What you can do in college, and you go on to the NFL because everybody wants to get paid. Now, college football is like the pros, name, image, and likeness, and all that. And
you playing the best players today.
Yes, the best players.
Because your job is to win.
Yes, and the bottom line is you just win. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. It could be. Listen, you think LSU fans – right now, we want local products. Don't we want Louisiana products to kick ass or the Gulf South of Mississippi, Texas, and everything? We wouldn't care if we'd have some dominant guy from Siberia. Could be from freaking Russia. He can't even speak English, but I know what. If he has to block somebody, he's whipping their ass. And that's all I know. You think LSU fans would care where he came from? Come on.
Well, I know you watched the NBA today. You think it matters to them that they're from Serbia or are they from France?
Right.
No, they're picking the best player.
Yeah.
Or who they think is the best player.
And if you have opportunity, take advantage of that.
We'll be back with more Second Guess. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino. Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Got him in a little early today from the Silver Slipper, Mr. Dave Hilbert. Dave. Thanks so much for joining us. And, man, I didn't walk in no more than two steps. Man, what the hell happened to LSU? I figured this guy lost money because he was not a happy camper about it. Man, they got to get rid of – I said, no, they're not going to get rid of Brian Kelly. Come on, he got like a $63 million buyout after this year. Brian's there. He doesn't want to be there.
You got to hope he works out. That's why you hope Derek Carr works out this year.
And so, Dave, like everybody, I think there's a lot of frustration on how this ended with a game that I think you could have won this football game. And what was really disappointing is your offense let you down. When it had some opportunities to put points on the board, they couldn't get first downs, couldn't move the football. And we thought that was going to be the strength of this team, and their inability to run the ball and the penalties –
down the chute.
Crucial penalties. I mean, stupid penalties. I mean, that yeah. targeting at the end of the game. Like, what are you talking? It was so much on the line. Why would you put a hit like that? You get yourself thrown out of the game. And also the one that the receiver did that he got the and the guy almost ran the kickoff back. Incredible.
Yeah. Kyron's got to understand the situation here. And I think he let his emotions get away. I've been knowing Kyron for a long time. He's a good kid, but I think his emotions got the best of him there. Come on, you got to put that aside.
You can get a personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever, when you're winning by 20 or 30.
You know what I mean? Not if you you just score a touchdown.
Yeah, if the game's going back and forth and it's not double digits at all, no, you got to be poised. You got to be poisoned. I think young players got to realize that. I think Coach Kelly will tell the team and tell the players. You got listen. You don't have to be exuberant and over and above and beyond. Listen, you did an unbelievable play. You know everybody's going to toot your horn. You don't have to do anything. Just do like Dalton Hilliard. And I'm going old school. Dalton Hilliard would score a touchdown and just give the ball to the referee.
Just flip it to him.
And he wouldn't do nothing else.
No shooting a machine gun like
he
did.
No, he wasn't shooting no gun.
No, again, if the game's out of hand, you can act the fool. But if it's going back and forth and you're in like, six points, no. You cannot afford to get that kind of penalty. Again, 9 penalties or more, 100 yards, that's like giving up a touchdown. And look at the final score.
Same thing with Major. Come on, keep your helmet on. You know they're going to catch that that situation.
The whole helmet thing, you know what I think that came, if I can recollect, where that came from was from the U.
Oh,
you remember the Outlaws they had at the U?
Oh, yeah.
When all of a sudden they'd make a great play. Because, you know, everyone looks at like, now it's different because social media and all, face recognition. And, you know, you don't know who's under that face mask and all that. So I want my friends or my cousin, somebody to see. I'm going to take my damn helmet off to see who made that play. Oh, that's my homeboy, whatever. And so now that's an old school penalty with the U exploiting where all of a sudden I'm on the field. So the NCAA and the college football said, we got to make a rule about this. You're on the field, you take off your helmet, you're going to get penalized. And that's what that occurred. So when Major Burns doing that, I know that was kind of a brain fart. When you look at it, it's like, okay, look at me. No, we know who you are, dude. You're amongst the best. You're a seasoned veteran. You ain't got to take off your damn helmet.
Okay, this is national TV. Everybody's going to see you.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to know who you are when you're involved in a big play like that. Disappointment, certainly, again. 3 straight losses for Brian Kelly to start the season, Dave. And and now in today's world, you can maybe there'll be a team that'll lose a game early and overcome it. But in the SEC, the margin of error is so short in this spot here. Had you won there, you roll this all the way to mid-October till you play Ole Miss.
To play Ole Miss. That's what I'm saying, Dave and Mike. Right now, LSU don't have to go undefeated the rest of the season. But they can only have one hiccup. I don't know whether it be Ole Miss, Alabama, and depending on you in the back end to make the playoffs. Because you think if you're in the SEC and you win 10 games. But now think about this. Now USC's in the Big Ten, right? And then they're going to look at, let's say on the back end, if you're 10, 11, or 12 to make the playoffs, what do you do head-to-head? Well, we lost to USC. So, okay, I'll tell you. Now, at the end of the season, you might say, well, LSU's better than USC. But what happened head-to-head? I think USC would get the benefit of the doubt at the end of the season because they played already and who won the damn game. So I think at the back end, no one thinks USC is going to overtake Ohio State or Oregon or whatever. I don't know, Penn State, whoever you view in the Big Ten. But I'm telling you, if you're on the back end trying to make the postseason, they're going to look at, okay, USC, LSU, they finished the season strong. Okay, then head-to-head, who won? USC won. And LSU gets screwed. Huh? That's why this game was important.
Because, you know, Tim Brando talks about this all the time. He's like, Mike, I don't care if they make it 12 or 16. Somebody's going to be really upset that they didn't make it.
14, yeah.
Because, okay, team 13 and 14, well, we should have got in there. Okay, it's only 12. Eventually, it's going to be 16. And that's why Tim thinks, and so do I, and I think it'll be in our lifetime, I think this will expand. It may go as much as 24.
Man, that's
you know why? Because of what they see in March Madness.
Yeah, because the money and all that.
Because the money would be there.
But to me, I could see him expanding to 16. To me, that'd be a good enough. But
I, you know, I agree, but because of money.
Now, the only thing is what is different. And I guess that'd be entertaining because you can have monumental upsets because it's one game. You know, when you look at the NBA, and I've said this over and over again, this is intriguing about the NFL, and it gives fans hope if you're the underdog because you just got to win one game. It ain't no damn series. Like, you look at the Pelicans, okay? We support the Pelicans here in New Orleans. Now, whoever they're playing in the playoffs, damn, we got to beat them four games. We can't just beat them one game. Well, look at Major League Baseball. It's
the
a
same
series.
Thing with college football and pro football. That's different than the major leagues. And in the NBA.
It's a series. No, the whole, it's one game. No, a lot can happen. All of a sudden, you minus two in the turnover margin. Damn, that's why we lost the game. But then, you know what? Look at March. Why do you think they call it March Madness?
You won, and you go on.
One and done. Because I mean, realistically, I remember even my school, Northwest Louisiana, when we beat Iowa. The Iowa Hawkeyes in a playoff game. Now, come on. If they had to win a series, Northwestern wasn't going to beat Iowa like four out of, four games. You know, they won one, and that's all that counts. So that's what's intriguing, where I think 16 would be all right. If it gets beyond that, I think they're not going to go that route. But, Dave, you know what? What I noticed coming here for Labor Day, damn, this is happening beach.
There's man, they got people all over the beach here.
A lot of people happening on the beach right
and
here.
And also down in Bay St. Louis, the beachfront is kind of like in Florida with all the boats now. You know,
maybe
200 boats all lined up. People floating like Crab Island and
Dave, without a doubt.
Yep. Tell everybody what's happening here at the Slipper real
quick. Congratulations to Robert and Slidell. He won the Ford Ranger last night. Another Slidell winner. So.
How shocking is that?
Yeah, exactly.
So right, Slidell, keep coming.
Exactly. And we're giving away one more Ford Ranger on September 28th. And also our gift of the month for September is a beautiful stainless steel 40-ounce tumbler. So you 4,000 points, get you one of those at Player Services for the entire month. So
come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Number one buffet.
Number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number one of the second guest show. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby exchanging popcorn over here, so trying to get him through the break. And when we come back, we'll take a couple callers, and then we will have on with us Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious LSU Network, and we'll talk some more LSU versus USC and what will happen down the stretch for the Tigers. Keep listening here on the Big 870 WWL. We've got a lot more second guests. We'll take this till 8 o'clock tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike Dettiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino. Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Got him in a little early today from the Silver Slipper, Mr. Dave Hilbert. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, I didn't walk in no more than two steps. Man, what the hell happened to LSU? I figured this guy lost money because he was not a happy camper about it. Man, they got to get rid of. I said, no, they're not going to get rid of Brian Kelly. Come on, he got like a $63 million buyout after this year. Brian's there. until he doesn't want to be there.
You got to hope he works out. That's why you hope Derek Carr works out this year.
And so, Dave, like everybody, I think there's a lot of frustration on how this ended with a game that I think you could have won this football game. And what was really disappointing is your offense let you down. When it had some opportunities to put points on the board, they couldn't get first downs, couldn't move the football. And we thought that was going to be the strength of this team, and their inability to run the ball and the penalties.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
down the chute.
Crucial penalties. I mean, stupid penalties. I mean, that targeting at the end of the game. Like, what are you talking about? It was so much on the line. Why would you put a hit like that? You get yourself thrown out of the game. And also the one that the receiver did that he got the and the guy almost ran the kickoff back. Incredible.
Kyren's got to understand the situation here. And I think he let his emotions get away. I've been knowing Kyren for a long time. He's a good kid, but I think his emotions got the best of him there. Come on, you got to put that aside.
You can get a personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever, when you're winning by 20 or 30.
If you just score a touchdown.
Yeah, if the game's going back and forth and it's not double digits at all, no, you got to be poised. You got to be poised. I think young players got to realize that. I think Coach Kelly will tell the team and tell the players, listen, you don't have to be exuberant and over and above and beyond. Listen, you did an unbelievable play. Everybody's going to toot your horn. You don't have to do anything. Just do like Dalton Hilliard. And I'm going old school. Dalton Hilliard would score a touchdown and just give the ball to the referee.
Just flip it to him.
And he wouldn't do nothing else.
No shooting a machine gun like
he
did.
No, he wasn't shooting no gun.
No, again, if the game's out of hand, you can act the fool. But if it's going back and forth and you're in like, six, four, five, 6 points, no. You cannot afford to get that kind of penalty. Again, 9 penalties or more, 100 yards, that's like giving up a touchdown. And look at the final score.
Same thing with Major. Come on, keep your helmet on. You know they're going to catch that in that situation.
The whole helmet thing, you know what I think that came, if I can recollect, where that came from was from the U. You remember the Outlaws they had at the U?
Oh, yeah.
When all of a sudden, they'd make a great play. Because, everyone looks at now it's different because social media and all, face recognition. And, you don't know who's under that face mask and all that. So I want my friends or my cousin, somebody to see. I'm going to take my damn helmet off to see who made that play. Oh, that's my homeboy, whatever. And so now that's an old-school penalty with the U exploiting where all of a sudden I'm on the field. So the NCAA and the college football said, we got to make a rule about this. You're on the field, you take off your helmet, you're going to get penalized. And that's what that occurred. So when Major Burns doing that, I know that was kind of a brain fart. When you look at it, it's like, okay, look at me. No, we know who you are, dude. You're amongst the best. You're a seasoned veteran. You ain't got to take off your damn helmet.
Okay, this is national TV. Everybody's going to see you.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to know who you are when you're involved in a big play like that. Disappointment, certainly, again. 3 straight losses for Brian Kelly to start the season, Dave. And and now in today's world, you can maybe there'll be a team that'll lose a game early and overcome it. But in the SEC, the margin of error is so short in this spot here. Had you won there, you roll this all the way to mid-October till you play Ole Miss.
To play Ole Miss. That's what I'm saying. Dave and Mike, right now, LSU don't have to go undefeated the rest of the season. But they can only have one hiccup. I don't know whether it be Ole Miss, Alabama, and depending on you in the back end to make the playoffs. Because you think if you're in the SEC and you win 10 games. But now think about this. Now USC's in the Big Ten, right? And then they're going to look at, let's say on the back end, if you're 10, 11, or 12 to make the playoffs, what do you do head to head? Well, we lost to USC. So, okay, I'm telling you, now at the end of the season, you might say, well, LSU's better than USC. But what happened head-to-head? I think USC would get the benefit of the doubt at the end of the season because they played already and who won the damn game. So I think at the back end, no one thinks USC is going to overtake Ohio State or Oregon or whatever. I don't know, Penn State, whoever you view in the Big Ten. But I'm telling you, if you're on the back end trying to make the postseason, they're going to look at, okay, USC, LSU, they both had, they finished the season strong. Okay, then head to head, who won? USC won. And LSU gets screwed. Huh? That's why this game was important.
Because, you know, Tim Brando talks about this all the time. He's like, Mike, I don't care if they make it 12 or 16. Somebody's going to be really upset that they didn't make it. Because, okay, team 13 and 14, well, we should have got in there. Okay, it's only 12. Eventually, it's going to be 16. And that's why Tim thinks, and so do I, and I think it'll be in our lifetime, I think this will expand. It may go as much as 24.
Man, that's...
You know why? Because of what they see in March Madness.
Yeah, because of money and all that.
Because the money would be there.
But to me, I could see him expanding to 16. To me, that'd be a good enough. But
I, you know, I agree, but no, because of money.
Now, the only thing is, what is different? And I guess that'd be entertaining, because you're going to have monumental upsets because it's one game. You know, when you look at the NBA, and I've said this over and over again, this is intriguing about the NFL, and it gives fans hope if you're the underdog, because you just got to win one game. It ain't no damn series. Like, you look at the Pelicans, okay? We support the Pelicans here in New Orleans. Now, whoever they're playing in the playoffs, damn, we got to beat them four games. We can't just beat them one game. Well, you look at Major League Baseball. It's
the same thing with college football and pro football. That's different than the major leagues and in the NBA.
It's a series. No, the whole, it's one game. No, a lot can happen. All of a sudden, you minus two in the turnover margin. Damn, that's why we lost the game. But you know what? It look at March. Why do you think they call it March Madness?
You won, and you go on.
One and done. Because realistically, I remember even my school, Northwest Louisiana, when we beat Iowa. The Iowa Hawkeyes in a playoff game. Now, come on. If they had to win a series, Northwestern wasn't going to beat Iowa like four games. You know, they won one, and that's all that counts. So that's what's intriguing, where I think 16 would be all right. If it gets beyond that, I think they're not going to go that route. But, Dave, you know what? What I noticed coming here for Labor Day, damn, this is happening beach.
And they got people all over the beach here.
A lot of people happening on the beach right
and
here.
And also down in Bay St. Louis, the beachfront is kind of like in Florida with all the boats now. You know,
yes.
200 boats all lined up. People floating like Crab Island.
Hey, Dave, without a doubt.
Yep. Tell everybody what's happening here at the Slipper real
quick. Congratulations to Robert and Slidell. He won the Ford Ranger last night. Another Slidell winner. So.
How shocking is that?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So Slidell, keep coming.
Exactly. And we're giving away one more Ford Ranger on September 28th. And also our gift of the month for September is a beautiful stainless steel 40-ounce tumbler. So you 4,000 points, get you one of those at Player Services for the entire month. So
come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Number one buffet.
Number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number one of the second guest show. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby exchanging popcorn over here. So trying to get him through the break. And when we come back, we'll take a couple callers, and then we will have on with us Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious LSU Network, and we'll talk some more LSU versus USC and what will happen down the stretch for the Tigers. Keep listening here on the Big 870 WWL. We've got a lot more second guests. We'll take this till 8 o'clock tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.